We are doing Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, and we are up to Perek Shlosha Ushloshim, chapter 33. K'tiv, the verse says, Vayizra Yitzhak Ba'aretz Ahi, Yitzhak planted in that land. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer says, V'chi Yitzhak Zarat Dagan? What do you think? Yitzhak was busy planting his own grain with so many servants, that's what he has to do with this time? Chas v'shalom. Ela lakach et kol ma'asar mamono, but rather it means he took the tithe of his money, v'zarat tzedakah la'aniyim, and he planted it as tzedakah for the poor. We know that from the time of Avram Avinu, they used to take off a tithe and give it to the poor. So when it says Yitzchak planted in that land, it means he did the greatest plantings, he planted it in the poor. There's a story about Baron Rothschild that once called in his accountant and asked him, how much am I worth? So the accountant said, I'll get back to you. And he went out, and a few days later he came back, and he said, I tallied up all your assets, this is how much you're worth. So Baron Rothschild said, no, that's not how much I'm worth. Any day, business can go up and business can go down, the government can decide they're taxing, the government can decide that I did something unlawful, and they take it away. That's not how much I'm worth. Let me show you how much I'm worth. And he opened up a drawer and pulled out a loose leaf, and in that loose leaf he said, here I have recorded all the charities I've given. That's how much I'm worth. That no one could take from me. That's how much I'm worth. So, when Yitzchak planted, it doesn't mean he planted literally grains that he left for his servants to do. What did he plant? He planted, he invested in humanity, he planted in the poor. Kmo da'at amar, as the verse says in Hosea, Ziru lachem litzdaka, plant in the charity. V'chol davar she'iser, in everything that he took off a tenth, he took off a tithe from each type of asset that he had. He had cattle, he had sheep, everything he had, he took off a tithe. Hevi lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu mea she'arim shel mamon. God gave him 100 times what he took off as the tithe. Uvecho, and God blessed him. Lechach ne'mar, that's why the verse says, Vayvachil Hashem, God blessed him. He would take off a tenth of his assets, and God would multiply that tenth that he took off, he would get back 100-fold. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Mikoch tzedakah hametim atidin lichyot. From the strength of tzedakah, the dead will merit to come back. And our sages tell us that the concept of tchiyat hametim will come to the world in the merit of Yitzchak. And we know that Yitzchak is the one of the forefathers who our sages point out from the Psukim, he's the one that the Torah stresses did tzedakah. We don't think of Yitzchak as the man who did tzedakah, but that's what the Medrash is telling us. That Yitzchak was the force that really was powerful in the concept of tzedakah. We know Avram was chesed, that's a different concept. Yitzchak is tzedakah. And from the power of tzedakah, God will resurrect the dead in the future. Uminayin anu lemedim, from where do we derive this concept? Now the Medrash is going to go into a beautiful story. We are told in Tanakh that Eliyahu declared there will be no more rain. And then he was living someplace by some cave, and he had a stream of water that he drank from, and God sent ravens who brought him food, and he lived off of that. And there was a famine. He had declared that there would be no rain. So God had it that the river dried up. And then God tells Eliyahu, go to Tzorfas, wherever that is. That's by Sidon, up in the north. And over there, there's a widow who's going to take care of you. And Eliyahu went there. And the widow, I'll get to you in just a second. The widow, he meets up with this widow. And he asks her, what do you have? And she says, well, I have very little left to eat. I have a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. I'm about to eat that and go and die with my kid. And Eliyahu says, well, prepare it for me and you. Give me to eat, and then you take to eat. And God declared that it won't run out till the famine is over. So she does as he said, and she gives him, and then she takes for herself and her son. And it lasts. God makes a miracle that she never finishes that flour and oil till the famine is over. One day, the child dies. So she comes to Eliyahu and she said, it's your fault. And the Medrash will discuss what was her claim. Why was it Eliyahu's fault? and Elio brings the child back from the dead. So that's the story we're about to discuss in the Midrash. Yeah.
The whole stuff that the ravens feeding on Eliyahu and the cave and the river and all the stuff, is that written in the Tanakh?
Yeah. It's written in the Tanakh. You need to read it.
Do you start
Tzedakah
before or after the
Seder? We don't know much about Yitzchak before the Akedah. Almost everything we know is post Akedah. So it would seem, from what we know, that it was after the Akedah, but I don't know. That's my guess. Yeah?
Is this the same story this is Yonah, right?
Oh, we'll get to that. Let's see. Halachlo Letzofat. I'm sorry, I skipped. Uminayin anu lemedim. Where do we derive this concept from, that the resurrection of the dead stems from the power of tzedakah? Me'eliyahu atishbi. From Elio, who was from the permanent residence of Gilad. And Elio, we know, resurrected the dead. And the reason why this widow merited to have the son, her son, come back from the dead was because she did tzedakah with Elio. We'll see in a minute. We'll get back to this point. Shaya olech mehar el har. Elio was traveling from mountain to mountain. Umi me'aral me'aran, from cave to cave. Alach lo leTzofat. Ultimately, he went to this place called Tzofat, to the city. Vekiblatu isha almana bechavot gadol. And this widow took him in with great honor. Imo shel Yonah haita. She was the mother of Jonah. So in a different place, it says that the son that he resurrected was Yonah. In which case, we know the widow's husband's name was Amitai, right? The deceased husband. But here, it doesn't clearly say that the son that died and he resurrected was Yonah. It just says that the widow was the mother of Yonah. But maybe she had another son, and that was the son Elio brought back. It doesn't say over here. Umipitao mishamna ayu ochlim veshotim, and they ate and drank from her bread and from her oil. Hu vehi uvna, he, her, and her son. Shneimar, as the verse says, v'tochal hu vehi, they ate, he and she. Amar Rebbe Levi, hu vehi k'tiv. The verse, he told her, you take to eat and give me to eat. When you read the verse, what the verse says is that he ate and she ate. But our tradition has it that we should read it that she ate, then he ate. So Rebbe Levi says, hu vehi k'tiv. It says that he ate first and then she. Vehi vahu karinan, but our tradition has it that we should read it that she ate and then he ate. Yeah? Bizchut Eliyahu achlu. This is to stress the fact that their eating was in the merit of Eliyahu. Lachar yamim, after days passed, chala ben aisha vamit. The woman's son got ill and died. Now, in the verse, it doesn't explicitly say that he died. It says he got very ill and he stopped breathing. But it doesn't say he died. It doesn't say the words he died. So the Medrash is saying, don't think to say that maybe he was in a coma, maybe he just stopped breathing, and then Elio did CPR. No, the child died. You'd be surprised. There are commentaries that discuss, did the child really die? Because the verse doesn't say it. You look at the verse says, he got very ill till it reached a point that he wasn't breathing. That's the way the verse records it.
What do we hold?
The Medrash says he died. The Medrash says he got ill and died. Shenemar, as the verse says, v'yichal dvim eile chala ben aisha, etc. After these things, the woman's son died. Amra lo aisha, the woman said to him, yomru, people will say, kivata elai betashmish amita, that you've been living here, I'm a widow, you're an old man, they'll say we sinned together. And because of that sin, umet bni, my son died. People will say, how come the old prophet came to her house and the child died? Must be the old man and the old lady did things that were improper. Now, had God not told him to live in the house, I don't know if he could have lived there. I don't know how old the child was. We say in the laws of Yichud that once a child is old enough that he understands what's going on, so then there is no problem of Yichud. But this is what she said to him. Ela, but rather, tol ma sheveta elai v'ten li etni. You take back all the miracles that you gave me. Take back your flour. Take back your oil. And leave me. Give me back my son. ועמד אליהו והתפלל לבני הקדוש ברוך הוא ואמר, and Elio stood and prayed before God and said, ריבונו של עולם, master of the world, לא די לי כל הרעות שעברו עליי ועל ראשי. It's not enough for me, all the bad things that have come upon me, upon my head. אלא אף האישה הזאת, even this woman, שאני יודע שמתוך צרת בנה דיברה עליי, that I know really, she only spoke this way because of the terrible thing that happened to her son. So he wants to make sure that in heaven they won't hold her accountable. So he says, God, you, I know that she only spoke this way because of what happened. Le'aksheni. She wants to pressure me. She knows that if she says, you know what people are going to say, people are going to talk, so she wants to pressure me to bring the kid back. Achshav, now if you accept my prayer and let me bring him back to life, ילמדו הדורות, generations will learn, שיש תחיית המתים, that there exists this concept of bringing people back from the dead. השבת נפש הילד, please bring back the soul of this child. ונעתר לו, and God accepted his prayer. שנאמר, as the verse says, וישמע השם בקול אליהו. השם listened to the voice of Elio. So Elio might have mentioned in his prayer, look at all the tzedakah that this woman did for me. Okay, before we continue, let's go back a second. Elio, when he prayed, he said, are bad things going to happen even for this woman who I've been living by her? What did he mean when he said, who I've been living by her? So this can be understood as an allusion to her allegations. I've been living here. I did nothing wrong, God. You know, I know, nothing wrong happened. But I've been living here, and God, please make the kid come back to life. Or else he was stressing that I've been living by her. Look at the righteousness. Look at the tzedakah she did for me. That schus should have protected her son. And that schus at least should bring the child back to life. Meaning what the Midrash seems to be focusing on are those two words, asher itgorarti etzla, that I've been living by her, that when Elio stuck that into his prayer, he doesn't have to tell God who this woman is. He's saying, are bad things going to happen for the woman who I've been living by her? The fact that he added those words indicate to us by which merits he came before God. What was his claim? So, either way, maybe both. Rabbi Yeshua ben Kochamer, Rabbi Yeshua, the son of Korcha, says, "De'al zeh tatameh." This seems wondrous to you. Don't be in awe. This isn't so exceptional. Bo urei me'Elisha ben Shafat. Come and see from the story of Elisha, who was Elio's Talmid. He was Elio's disciple. Shelo aita isha yechola listakel befanav shelo tamut. He was so holy that a woman couldn't even look in his face without dropping dead. Which is an exaggeration. They didn't drop dead, because otherwise how'd they know not to look, right? But it means that he was so holy that women were scared to look him in the face. And he was traveling from mountaintop to mountaintop, from cave to cave. And he went to the city of Shunem. And there was a wealthy woman, an important woman, who took him into her house with great honor. So the Navi tells us the following story. Elisha was Elio's disciple. He used to pass through the city of Shunem, and he frequented the home of this very respected woman and her husband. And the woman told her husband, look, the man of God frequents our home. We should make a special room for him. So they made a special attic for him. And whenever he passed through Shunem, so he'd stay by them in their attic. And then he told his servant, look, they did such nice things for us. What can we do for them? So they called in the woman and they asked, do you need us to speak to the king on your behalf? Is there something you need us to do? So Gehazi said, well, my master, she has no children and her husband's an old man. So Elisha tells her, a year from now you'll be hugging a child. So she says, don't give me blessings that won't last. Don't tell me I'll be hugging a child a year from now and then later on the child will die on me. If you're giving me a blessing, give me something that will last. So Elisha says, fine. She has a child, and then the child one day goes out to his father in the field, and he's in the sun, and suddenly he says, my head, my head. And the father asks one of the hands, one of the people helping out, take the child home. He takes the child home. The child rests on his mother's lap and dies. The woman rushes out to Elisha, out to the mountaintop, and Elisha sees her from a distance, and he tells Gehazi, gee, this is strange. God always tells me what's about to happen, and here God didn't tell me what's happening. Go ahead, ask the woman what's wrong. So the woman knows that Gehazi is not a fine character. She doesn't want to talk to him. And the woman says everything's fine. She rushes up to Elisha. She falls by his feet. And Gehazi comes and pushes her away. And Elisha says, don't push her away. She's bitter now. That's the reason why she's approaching me this way. What's wrong? He asks the woman. The woman says, I told you, don't lie to me. I begged you. Don't do something that won't last. So Elisha says, okay, Gehazi, take my staff, put it on the child, and the child will come back to life. Gehazi goes to put the staff on the child, and it doesn't work. The woman hasn't left. She wouldn't agree. She says, no, you come. And finally, Elisha comes, and then Elisha brings the kid back to life. And this is what the Medrash is going to discuss. That story, what I said now, is what's recorded in Tanakh. And the Medrash will add to us the things we have on tradition, other aspects of the story. So this woman, who used to take him into her home, it's interesting that she has a husband, but Navi stresses that it was her initiative. She was Achota Shel Avishag HaShunamit, the sister of the woman from Shunem named Avishag, who was a wife of King David's. When David died, she was a little kid, her sister Avishag. It's a bit problematic because over a century passed, since King David's time to Elisha's time. So the commentaries discuss, does it mean literally she was her sister, or does it mean something else? But at any rate, the Medrash says she was the sister of Avishag HaShunamit, who was the wife of Ishto Shel Ido Anavi, the prophet Ido. And here again, here it seems that her husband, meaning the woman who took Elisha into her house, her husband was Ido the prophet. Which is a little bit strange, because the Navi keeps stressing how great this woman was and makes no mention of her husband, who was a prophet, Ido. Vekiblato vechavod gadol. She took Elisha into her house with great honor. Amra isha levala. This woman said to her husband, Isha Elohim haze kadoshu. This man of God, he is holy. En isha yechola listakel befanav shelo tamut. A woman can't look in his face without dying. Shneemar, as the verse says, Nasena li atkir ktana. Let's make him a small attic, and that's where he'll live. V'chol pam shuvel yasu l'aliyah, whenever he passes by, he'll be in that attic. Uvanu ve'chinu ve'itkinu. They built an attic for Elisha. They prepared it. They set it up. L'achar yamim haya over el Shunem. Days passed, and he came by the city of Shunem. V'yasar el aliyah. He went to that attic. Shunem. How's the verse says? V'yi ayom ve'ebo shama. The day happened, and he went to that attic. V'kara la Shunamit. He called the woman of Shunem. Shenemar, the verse says, "Vayikra la, he called her, v'tamod b'patach." She stood at the entrance. V'lama amda b'petach? If she's being called, summoned by the prophet, why is she standing at the doorway? Shelo hayta yechola listakel b'fanav. She couldn't look him in the face. Amar la, he said to her, "Lamoed hazeh, this time ka'et chaya, exactly this time, going by the sundial, at choveket ben, you'll be hugging a child." Amra lo, so she answered him, Adoni zaken meot. My husband, my master, is very old. V'chadlam min yochka nashim, and I stopped having the regular women's cycle. So how's this going to happen? V'yivshal lasot hadavar zeh. This can't happen. Al Adoni sheloihim al techazeh b'shivchatecha. Don't give me false hopes. It can't happen. I've stopped having my cycle. He's an old man. It's impossible. Yeah. That's Shulamit, and that's a reference to the Jewish people who are Shalem in their belief. Rabbi Zechariah Omer, Ritzon Yirav Yaseh. Rabbi Zechariah says, based on the verse that says, God does the will of those who fear Him, Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Ritzono Shel Navi. God did the will of the prophet, Vehara, and she became pregnant, Veyalda, and she gave birth, Vegadal Anar, and the lad grew up, and he went out for a break to see those that are doing harvesting. And a tragedy happened to him. The sun beat down on him, and he's standing there in an open field. There's no shade, and he gets some form of sunstroke or something. Shenemar, the verse says, "Vayitzel aviv el hakotzrim bayamot." He went out to his father to the harvesters, and later on he died. Valcha isha lehar haKarmel. The woman went up to Mount Carmel. V'nafla al paneh alta lifnei Elisha, and she fell on her face before the prophet Elisha. Amra lo, she said to him, "Halvay shaita li kli reikam." It would be good if I had my vessel that remained empty, but ela shenit malev nishbach, but it became full and it spilled. That's what I. There's a woman I know who never had a child. She never had a child, and she was once discussing with me how hard it is. She said, "There's only one thing harder in this world than not having children. That's having children and losing them." She told me, "I thank God that I didn't have to go through that. I never had children." And she miscarried maybe 15 times. She said, "But I at least I didn't have children and lost them. That there's one thing that's harder than not having children, and that is having them and losing them." So that's what she said to Elisha. She said, "You know, I if only it would have remained empty, but it was full and now it spilled out." Amar Navi, so the prophet said, "Kol davar shekadosh baruch hu oseh, haya magid li." Whatever God does in the world, usually He tells me, chutz mizo, except for this, shenemar, the verse says, "But tavo Elisha Elohim vaygash yechazi leotva." She came to the man of God, and Gehazi, the servant, the disciple, the top disciple who was in charge of all those who learned by Elisha, he went to push her away. Achaza behod yofia. He grabbed her by the glory of her beauty, which means he grabbed her by her chest. Melamed shenatan yado al gabei dadeh, means he put his hands on her chest. Vayom Elisha Elohim al pela. So the man of God said, "Like over." לקח את המשענת שבידו ונתנה לגחזי. He took his staff and gave it to Gehazi. אמר לו, he said to Gehazi, "אל תדבר בפיך כל דבר מאומה." Don't say anything, he told Gehazi. Now you have to be quiet, עד שאתה הולך, till you go, ונותן את המשענת על פני הנער, and you place my staff on the lad, ויחיה, and then the child will come back to life. So Gehazi was just given instruction by the prophet, take the staff, go to the child, put it on him, don't say a word on your way, just go there, put it on the child, and he will come back to life. Vegehazi haya kischok beinav, and Gehazi thought this was a comedy. Gehazi didn't believe it, and he so chol adam shaya pogea. Every man Gehazi met on the way, haya omer lo, he tell him, "Hatamin shamishen tazot mechaya? Do you believe that this staff could bring a kid back to life? The prophet just told me to go bring a person back to life with this staff. Could you believe it?" Lefichach lo al tabiyado. That's why the prophet, it says later on in the book of Malachim, it didn't work. The Gehazi comes back to Elisha and he says the child did not awaken, which seems to indicate that Gehazi was telling him, "What do you think, the kid was sleeping? If I put a stick on him, he'll come back to life." So Gehazi, that's what the Medrash is saying, he thought it was all a joke. Ad shanach beraglav, till Elisha himself went, v'natan panav al panav, v'einav al einav, and as it says in Malachim, he placed his face on his face, his eyes on his eyes. V'etchil itpalel. And Elisha started praying, "Ribono shel olam, Master of the world, kishem she'asita nisim al yedei Eliyahu Rabbi, just as you did miracles at the hands of Eliyahu my Rebbe, v'chiyat amet, and he brought someone back from the dead, kach asei mi, so too you should do with me, v'chiya ne'ar hazeh, and bring this child back to life. V'ne'etar lo, and God accepted his prayer, she'ne'emar, the verse says, v'ayzorer anar ad sheva pe'amim." He did this 7 times. He lay himself on the child, and then he came back to life. Rabbi Azariah Omer. Rabbi Azariah says, remember, where did we start this whole discussion with the power of tzedakah? That Yitzchak didn't literally plant grains, but he invested in humanity. He planted in doing tzedakah. So we said, just like his tzedakah brought people to life, so too tzedakah brings the dead back to life. Just like the tzedakah of the widow who helped out Elio, that brought her child back to life. And now we're seeing the same concept with Elisha and that child, the child of the Shunamis. And now Rabbi Azariah continues and says, "Teidah lecha, you should know, koach tzedakah, the power of tzedakah, bo ur'ei min Shalom bet Tikva. Come and see from the famous man named Shalom ben Tikva. What did he do? Shayam migdolei ador. He was one of the great men of the city, of the generation. And he would do tzedakah every day. What was his tzedakah that he used to do? He used to fill his flask with water. He'd stay by the entrance to the city. And whoever would come on their way, he'd give him a drink, and so to speak, he'd rejuvenate him. So he'd rejuvenate the person. So this was Shalom ben Tikva's great tzedakah. He was a walking, talking water fountain. People who came from the path, he'd offer them a drink. And in the merit of this tzedakah that he did, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Heavenly Spirit, landed on his wife, that his wife was the great prophetess Huldah. So Huldah was great by her own right, but the Medrash seems to say that in that merit alone she would not have attained prophecy. She attained prophecy because of the partnership with her husband and this righteousness that her husband did. As the verse says, Vayelech Hilkiyahu HaKohen, the Kohen Hilkiyahu went, etc., El Huldah HaNeviyah, to Huldah the prophetess, and the Pasuk introduces her as Eshet Shalom Ben Tikva, the wife of Shalom Ben Tikva. Why does the Pasuk stress who her husband is? To tell us that it was in that merit of that tzedakah that she ultimately attained prophecy. Yeah?
That the time of the prophets is over and Moshiach comes.
In general, yes.
What about female prophets?
Seems the same way.
Same, yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's what he means. What? Not follow. Correct. That's what he means. Right. So there is no prophecy ever since prophecy ended. It's over. Initially, this man's name was Shalom ben Sachra. Just as you say that the wages of Torah are better than the wages of silver. And when her husband passed away, so the righteousness that he did was missing. People missed it. So everyone knew that when they'd come up to the city, they could expect to get their drink on their way up from Shalom ben Tikva. And when he died, so everyone knew our walking, talking water fountain is gone. The Yatzu Kol Yisrael Igmol Chesed Im Shalom Ben Tikva, and all of the Jewish people gathered for his levaya, for his funeral. They're all gathering for the last walk with him to bury him. The Ra'ut Agdut Shebalim, and as they're walking to bury him, a battalion came, and they saw a battalion from the enemy army that was coming to attack. So, v'ishlichot ish bekever Elisha, they threw his body. They said, "We have to run. What are we going to do with the body?" So they were right near the burial plot of Elisha. They tossed the body into Elisha's grave and ran away. So in the Navi, the story is recorded that they were on their way to bury a person. Doesn't say who, and a battalion came, and they saw the battalion coming. So they tossed the body into Elisha's grave and they ran. And the person rolled, his body rolled and touched Elisha, and he got up and came back to life. That's all it says in the Navi. It's just recording the miracles about Elisha, so it tells us the story. The Medrash gives us all this information. Who was that person? He was the husband of Huldah the prophetess. Who was he? He was Shalom ben Tikva, who did all this righteousness with the Jewish people. What? In the Tanakh it just records that a person was on... They were in the process of burying him. They threw the body. He touched Elisha's body, and he came back to life. That's all it says in the Tanakh.
Why didn't they cover Elisha with dirt?
So let's see. So it says he touched the bones. I don't know if it means literally the bones, or it means something similar. I'm not sure. I don't know. It's a good question. Yeah. I don't know. It seems to say he touched the bones. You're saying why were the bones revealed? Right. I don't know. So הלך האיש ונגע בעצמות אלישה וחיה. The person went and touched the bones of Elisha, came back to life. ואחר כך, and after he came back to life, הוליד, he gave birth to חנמל בן שלום. He gave birth to חנמל, the son of שלום. This person שלום went on to live a life where he even procreated, even had another child. So you see here, Elisha again brought someone back from the dead. And again, this person who came back from the dead, it was the merit of tzedakah that brought him back from the dead. Rabbi Hananiah ben Tradion omer. Boy, we got a way to go. This is a long midrash. You guys want to pause here? Or, yeah? Okay. Okay, so we're going to pause here. We'll have to divide this midrash in two. Yeah?
Was it the Edomites?
I don't remember. I have to look it up. I don't remember.